This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Community Matters. I'm once again your host, John Robbins. I'm joined by Brenda, Brian, and Amanda from the Warren Philharmonic Orchestra, if I'm saying that correctly.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
All right. I just want to make sure everything is going well. You guys have a upcoming concert in November to kind of kick off the holiday season. Some exciting things you were talking about before we came on. Very exciting. Let's start with Brenda. What's the information about this concert, where it's at, how much to get in, all those sorts of things, everything you need to know before you go.
So our holiday concert, Ringing in the Holidays, is going to be performed on November 24th, and that's going to be at the First Lutheran Church in Warren on 3rd Street. That's the one with the orange roof. We're really excited about this concert because we're doing it with the bell choir from the church. So we're going to have the bell choir performing with us, and we're doing some pieces with some organ in there, so it's going to be really full sound. It's going to be great. The concert starts at 4 o'clock, and we start selling tickets at 3:15 on the day of the concert, and it's $10 for adults, $5 for seniors and students, and then children 11 and under are free. And we're really excited about this. We've got such a cool group of holiday music, and then we're going to do a sing-along at the end, and Brian will explain.
I was about to go to Brian next, the music director. What selections will they have for this upcoming concert?
There's quite a variety of things, but we're going to start out with a piece called We Three Kings. Actually, it's and it's also So Unfinished Are They or We. But it's based on the Schubert Unfinished Symphony with We Three Kings actually thrown in there, first introduced, I think, by The Winds. And it's a Robert Wendell arrangement. We've done some of Robert Wendell's. He's a New York composer and arranger, and we've done quite a few of his pieces, and they're funny. They're very joyful, and he's very off the cuff. And we're going to follow that by a piece called Little Bolero Boy, which is Ravel's bolero mashed up with the Little Drummer Boy. And that's another Robert Wendell mashup.
That is a really cute arrangement.
Right, yeah. He does a lot of really interesting arrangements. And then, of course, you know, we're doing our regular holiday kind of thing. We haven't done a holiday concert in quite a few years.
Right, it's been like almost 8 years or so.
Yeah, so we decided to go ahead and do one because I think, you know, the audience likes, you know, and it's getting ready for the holiday season. So we're also doing White Christmas, a beautiful arrangement scored by Robert Russell Bennett of an Irving Berlin White Christmas. We're doing Holiday for Strings, which is music by David Rose. That was actually the theme to the Red Skelton show. Now, people probably are going, who is that? But if you're the same elk that I am, you know who Red Skelton is. And then, of course, another piece by Mel Torme, the Christmas song. It's interesting, Irving Berlin and Mel Torme, both Jewish, but wrote Christmas music. Mel Torme actually wrote this in Miami, I think, in the middle of summer. And it's chestnuts roasting on an open fire. It's a Christmas song. But it's a beautiful other arrangement of that as well. We're going to be doing a piece called How Great Our Joy by Douglas Wagner with the Bell Choir. And the Bell Choir is also going to be featuring a piece of their own, that they'll do a solo piece of their own. Their director is Denise Pearson. I've worked with Denise quite a bit, and she doesn't know this yet, but she's actually going to lead the sing-along at the very end. But I'll sort of spring that on her that day of, you know.
A little bit of breaking news here.
Yeah. Denise is also the director of the Warren County Summer Music School, so...
Yeah, so
I'm sure she can handle it.
Yeah, so I always throw things her way anyway. So, and then we're doing a version of the Carol of the Bells, the Ukrainian Carol of the Bells. And this was conceived and featured by Sherry Lewis. Now, if people remember who Sherry Lewis was, Sherry Lewis was a ventriloquist, and she had this lamb chop, is that it?
Oh, the puppet, yeah.
The puppet lamb chop. But she was also a very, you know, competent conductor. She conducted, like, the Baltimore Symphony, the Rochester Philharmonic, you know, and so she conducted quite a few major orchestras out there. But we have our arrangement of Carol of the Bells, which everybody knows that tune. And there's some mashup things in there, too. I think there's Silent Night and a couple of other tunes that are in there. We're also doing a piece called Bells Across the Meadows. And this is by Albert Cataldi, who is a British composer, an English composer. We've done some things from him in the past, and they're sort of like little tone poems. This is actually called a characteristic intermezzo, which basically doesn't mean much. Anyway.
Thank you for that.
And then our sing-along is going to be Leroy Anderson's Christmas Festival. And we will have the words in the programs for the audience to sing along. We have never had a sing along,
no.
So this is going to be something new for us.
But now, is that the part you're most excited about with this concert, or
the end of it? Yeah. The end is always good. Right? That means we made it through another concert. But no, I think it'll be great, and it'll be ringing in the holiday season. So get people involved.
What I'm most excited about is that we've never done a concert with handbells before. And when Brian and Denise were talking at the end of summer music school, it was like Denise was like, we should do a handbell concert. And then we talked over the summer, and we're like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, why not?
So I'm excited for this. I think the church will be packed because, like Brian said, we haven't done a Christmas concert in a long time. And I think after everything everybody's been through with the COVID and everything, and everybody's coming back out and feeling good about everything again, let's, have a really nice, happy holiday concert.
Now, Amanda, let's get you involved a little bit. Where can people find information if they want to look online? Where can they go and look?
We have a Facebook page, so if you go to the Warren Philharmonic Orchestra on Facebook, we have all of our events up there, and I will post this current event later today.
Since we now have a name.
Yes, since we now have a name.
Yeah, we came up with a name right on the spot here.
That happens,
What? I don't want to be the one that graces everybody with the name. I'll let the group, whichever one wants to have the pleasure of being the first one to say the name,
ringing in the holidays.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think that's my spot to really share the ringing in the holidays. The name once again, Brenda. The information, just in case if anybody tuned in a little bit later. When is this concert? Where is it? How much are tickets? Everything you need to know before you go.
It's November 24th, 4:00 p.m. at the First Lutheran Church in Warren. The tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for seniors and students. Kids 11 and under are free. We start selling tickets at 3:15 the day of the concert. And that's what they need to know for this concert. I would like to kind of talk about upcoming things that we have. We have really exciting, exciting stuff going on this year. On our next concert after this one in 2025 is on March 16th, and it features our soloist, Melinda Crawford Pertu. She's a music professor at Westminster College down near Pittsburgh, and she's the former U.S. National Scottish Fiddling Champion. So she will be our soloist that day, and we're going to do workshops, where she's going to be here for 3 days. So we're going to do workshops with our group and with some students. So she's agreed to help us with that, and we're really excited about that because I don't know anything about Scottish fiddling. I've never tried it. So
it'll be really fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. Yeah. And expose. We're having a workshop with younger students and with adults. So we're going to try to do two workshops while she's here.
Now, Brian, now that let's get to you. So you went into the whole selection of music that you're going to have for this concert. Why those selections? Why did you choose those? What intrigued you the most? I mean, there's a lot of ways you could go with this question, but I want to leave it broad for you. I mean, you're the music guy. I'm just some sports guy. So inform me. Why this selection of music? Obviously, besides the holidays.
Right. Well, somebody suggested the Holiday for Strings. One of our cellists in our section, Tom, suggested Holiday for Strings, and so I just happened to have it in our library, so I pulled that out. I've done these pieces in the past with other orchestras, too. I mean, I must confess that, it's always nice to pull something out that you know.
Recycling is good.
Recycling is very good.
Save the trees.
So, and I've done Robert Wendell's pieces with these pieces with the Amherst Symphony last Christmas. So I know, you know, I know the repertoire. So I thought it was a nice, you know, they're nice arrangements, and so that's why I picked them. So we were really working on putting together that concert for St. Paddy's Day, mm-hmm. and then you know,
we have another concert on Mother's Day, May 11th.
And that's with Hunter Peterson.
Yes.
Who is going to be our vocalist and organist. We're doing the last movement of Sanson's Organ Symphony in C minor, which is a great piece. The last movement features the organ. And it's one of it's actually the piece that actually turned me on as a young child to classical music. And after hearing that piece, I knew that that's what I wanted to do the rest of my life. So it's a very meaningful piece for me. It's a great piece of music. And then Hunter's going to be singing a couple of things, maybe from Broadway, on that program as well. That'll be a nice Mother's Day concert.
Yeah, Hunter's amazing. He performed at our outdoor concert. He did selections from Broadway. And when I walked down the street the whole next week, people were stopping me and said, who was that guy who sang with you? He was great. I loved him. I mean, it was... Just, he has such a wonderful voice.
He's actually, right now, I think he's at...
Cleveland, right? Cleveland Conservatory?
Cleveland Conservatory.
Yeah.
He's an organ major, getting his master's degree. So, so the organ is his forte.
And now a question for all three of you before we head out. All three of you in some form or fashion will be playing and be a part of this upcoming concert. What are you most excited about to be a part of this, you know, performing at this upcoming concert? Let's start with Amanda. Don't have a camera here, but going from my right to left, so let's start with Amanda. What are you most excited about? Then Brian, then Brenda.
I just really love playing as part of a large group like this. It's really great to hear all the voices and be among my friends and partners and playing beautiful music.
And her favorite composer, Leroy Anderson.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. She hates him. I love him, and she hates him.
He's the worst.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's light classical music. It's you know.
I don't like cute.
Yeah, obviously. But it is, like, he's done the waltzing cat. He actually did. One thing that we're not doing of his, actually, is Sleigh Ride. You know,
which we played that before, though.
We played, and that's got a nasty first violin part.
It's horrible. I can guarantee you, it's really, it's in fourth position. It's terrible.
That's why I moved to the cello section.
But so what am I looking forward to?
Yes.
I don't know. I just have fun. I just enjoy, like, you know, working with this group.
The whole day is very interesting because we have players that come and rehearse all with us every time, and then at the end we bring in extra people. Like special, we have our percussion section she's Kay Stonefelt and John. They're from Fredonia, and Kay is actually the professor at Fredonia. So yeah. We've got these professionals that come in on the last day. And
Charlie Johnson coming from Buffalo, and the Mosers coming from Erie. There's people that come from a long way to play with this.
So it's a little weird because we do the rehearsal with everybody 2:00 the day of the concert, and then downbeat at 4:00, and it's like you got to be on it. Like it's fun though.
Yeah,
it's like that good adrenaline instead of that scary adrenaline.
Years ago, it used to be the scary adrenaline.
Yeah.
But this orchestra's gotten so much better that now it's actually fun.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm looking forward to the most is the one Amanda hates the most. I love that arrangement on the Christmas festival. And it's going to be so great at the end when people are singing
and
the organ is playing.
The organ is on full organ, and it's going to blow off the roof off the church.
It's going to be
the timpani
amazing.
Roll, and it's like really big, big ending.
Yeah, because we're going to have like 52 people playing.
Wow.
I should have told you that before because you said you're a sports guy. You probably didn't realize it's this big.
Yeah, the numbers.
Yeah, it's not 4 people.
Yes.
I could have presumed it was more than 4. But, you know, 52-person orchestra is nothing to scoff at. I mean, that amazing work. Brenda, one last time.
Yep.
Location, time, tickets, everything you need to know. And how do you get tickets as well? One question I forgot to ask earlier.
So November 24th, 4:00 p.m., First Lutheran Church in Warren on 3rd Street. Tickets are available at $3.15 the day of the concert, so you buy them right before you go in. It's $10 for adults, $5 for seniors and students, and kids 11 and under are free.
Thank you so much, you three, for coming on. Please check out their concert, the Warren Philharmonic Orchestra, performing on November 24th. Anything you would like to add before we head out?
I think we're good.
No, all right. I think we're good.
Thank you for coming
on. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Community Matters on 92 Gold.
The local fall high school sports season wrapped up a few weeks ago, and we want to give you a quick rundown of every local team's accomplishments. Starting with Warren High School, the Dragons finished the football season 0-10, but found some young talent out of the backfield with Aiden Corbett, Charlie Blum, and Aiden Egger, who are all slated to be back next year. The latter half of the season saw the rise of underclassman quarterback Brady Sheen, who had 2 touchdown passes in their final 4 games. The Dragons' girls' soccer and volleyball teams finished as the District 10-3A runners-up, soccer falling to Harbor Creek in the final and volleyball to Meadville. Boys soccer fell in the semis to Meadville. Corey football had an impressive 8-2 record and a share of the region title with Fort LaBeouf and Fairview. They pulled out a 9-6 thriller versus Fort LaBeouf in the District 10 quarterfinals at War Memorial Field when Zach Turman hit a field goal off the crossbar and through to advance. The Beavers fell to the eventual district champion Hickory in the semifinals. The most impressive fall season for the Beavers was their girls volleyball team, who finished up as the PIAA runners-up, District 10 champs, and went 18-2, only falling to undefeated Trinity in the state final and Whippy opponent Freeport. The girls' soccer team also managed to qualify for the District 10 playoffs. Eisenhower football snuck into the playoffs, losing in the final minute to Reynolds. The girls' soccer team for the Knights fell in penalty kicks to Cambridge Springs in their playoff run, while the boys' soccer team fell to Mercyhurst Prep. And that wraps up our wrap-up of the high school fall sports season. Stay tuned. We will have Warren basketball, boys and girls, right here on 92 Gold. Or if you're on 104.3 Kinzu Country, you can go to our sister station, 92 Gold, whenever boys and girls basketball are home this upcoming season.
Community Matters on 92 Gold.
And before we head out, you probably saw our coverage of the food drive last week by Erie News Now and Northwest Bank. And if you are unable to donate to that, we at least want to give you more information on where you can reach out for something very close to this. Actually, somebody that benefits directly from the food drive and Second Harvest Food Bank. This is the Second Street Food Pantry. This is a letter from Diane, and she provided us some very helpful information coming up on the upcoming Thanksgiving season on any help that you can bring, describing, you know, very unique pantry, and they help a lot of people in the Youngsville area, and in the past our stations helped and worked with them. So if you're willing to, if you can and are able to help them out, they're always looking for help, you know, donations, whatever it may be, as they get most of their food from a food bank and they just provide it out to everybody that is in need of it, especially during this hard time with holidays and whatever may be lack of food. There's plenty of different things that could be in the situation. Regardless, if you're willing and able to help out, Second Street Food Pantry in Youngsville. Once again, Second Street Food Pantry in Youngsville. Seems like a very, very wonderful place from Diane's description. I'm hoping to get out there and tour it a little bit, but truly help them out. As if you're unable to help out with the food drive last week, but certainly would help out in any sort of way if you want to help out going into the holiday season. Once again, this has been John Robbins with Community Matters here on Warren Radio.
Community Matters on 92 Gold.
And earlier this week, Jackie Palmer of Erie News Now, Warren's bureau reporter, had a story about snow removal efforts in the Warren area. There was some snowfall this weekend and thought it was a perfect time to not just show the story to you, but or you can listen to it, but also we're looking forward to this upcoming winter season. So once again, this is Jackie Palmer with her story on snow removal in Warren. right here on Community Matters on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinsu Country.
Winter weather may be unpredictable, but the Department of Public Works here in the city of Warren are taking no chances. Even though the past few winters have brought less snow, state requirements mean they're keeping salt and other supplies fully stocked, ready for anything.
We've been pretty lucky the last couple winters. It's been mild winters, very little snowfall. We haven't been using as much salt as we typically have the last decade, but we still live in northwestern Pennsylvania. It's going to come. It's going to happen. We're going to be fully prepared, fully loaded. Our salt sheds will have just as much salt in it this year as we did last year. We'll be ready for a harsh winter.
And while crews are ready to clear the roads, they're asking residents to play it safe, starting with driver behavior around snowplows.
Give them their space. If they're driving slow, it's for a reason.
Safety concerns also extend to children playing near roads. Snowbanks may look fun, but they pose serious risks.
You know, the snowplows, you never know when they're going to come. They could be pushing a lot of snow on top of those piles, and they could be hitting those piles with the plows. If your kids are playing on the curb line in snow piles, I'd advise them to go play in the backyard.
Despite the milder winters of recent years, weather really can change in an instant, and that's why the Department of Public Works here in Warren are emphasizing the importance of staying prepared and safe. Reporting in Warren County, Jackie Palmer, Erie News Now.
Community Matters on 92 Gold.
And now to Erie News Now, D.C. correspondent Brendan Scanlon for his story on the upcoming Thanksgiving travel season. What you should look out for if you are leaving town and heading elsewhere to see family, friends, whatever it may be, this Thanksgiving holiday.
Next week, millions of passengers will take to the skies ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday.
If recent experience is any guide, these will likely be some of the busiest travel days in U.S. history.
Today at Reagan National Airport in Washington, federal transportation officials telling the flying public the skies are safer than ever despite close calls on the runway. And in the skies over the past few years.
The FAA works around the clock so that passengers are safe from takeoff to touchdown.
FAA Administrator Mike Whitaker says close calls are down this year.
For the first 9 months of 2024, the rate of serious close calls decreased by 72% from the same period last year.
2024 has seen record-breaking levels of air travel. It was the busiest in TSA's 23-year history, and officials say it is not slowing down for the holidays. TSA is projected to screen 18.3 million people from Tuesday, November 26th through Monday, December 2nd, a volume increase of approximately 6% from 2023.
Typically, all our American flights have been sold out, so it's going to be pretty congested. In the airport itself.
At regional airports, officials like Derek Martin are prepared for the holiday rush. He says there are a few things passengers can do to ensure smooth travel, like arriving on time and having the airline's app downloaded on your phone for any last-minute changes and travel modifications. But above all else,
have patience. That's it. Be patient.
TSA projects the three busiest travel days will be next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Sunday. Reporting in Washington, Brendan Scanlon, Erie News Now.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click Contact.